grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. He had been hired by his company right out of college. He had done well for himself and had risen near the top. Happens in our day, his company had gone through a couple of reorganizations, but he had always landed on his feet and landed near to the top. So he hadn't seen this coming. In the latest reorganization of the company, his name was not on the chart. How could that possibly be after all that he had given to them? They gave him a nice severance package and all, but he was still out of a job. He was too young to retire, too old to get another good job. An anger began building in him. Anger toward the company, anger toward his former boss. He wasn't sleeping well, took too many medications for tension. It was like a pool of poison building up within him. She left Seattle to go to Minneapolis with her brand new baby. Wanted to show off that baby to the grandparents and all the Minnesota relatives. The baby had had all the appropriate vaccinations, including a vaccination for polio. Such a fluke. Some of the polio vaccine seeped through the diaper and into a cut on the mother's hand, and she contracted polio herself. By the time she returned to Seattle, she was in a wheelchair. When she got home, her marriage in time did not survive. The stress of a new baby, a handicap, a total different way of life. And she could feel the bitterness rising within her, a pocket of poison that grew almost every day. Now the fact is, everybody has been hurt, yes? Sometimes intentionally by others. Sometimes it's through no fault of our own, the reorganization of a firm and we lose a job, or maybe contracting an illness over which we have no control. Everybody has been hurt in some way or another. What makes a difference in this world for our health is what we do with that hurt. Some of us allow that hurt to grow in our spirits like a pocket of poison. It's pretty likely that everybody here has been injured in some way, and we have allowed that to grow like a cesspool so that we deliberate on it far too much, that we lose sleep over it. No less than the Mayo Clinic has told us that if we do not practice forgiveness, the person who is most likely to be harmed is the person who does not do the forgiving. Advises the Mayo Clinic, as we embrace forgiveness, we also embrace joy, peace, compassion, and hope. The Mayo Clinic says, as you go down that path of forgiveness, you go down the path also of emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being, the Mayo Clinic. They also advise to the negative of that. They say as we embrace unforgiveness, our lives are interrupted by bitterness, anger, and even cutting us off from each other. So beyond the good advice from the Mayo Clinic, we have a higher calling to forgiveness as Christians. In our gospel reading for today, we have three examples of that. The first is an example of how we as Christians can settle sins against one another. And at the very end of that, we hear this truth: whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Bible would suggest that forgiveness, our spirit, has eternal implications. The second example is Peter going to Jesus and asking how many times he should forgive a church member who sins against him. Now, the very question suggests that there is some reasonable number, a limit to our forgiveness. 7 in the Bible is a perfect number. Perhaps Peter believes he is noble in lifting up a sevenfold forgiveness. Jesus, not so impressed. He takes that perfect number seven, takes at times another perfect number, 10, comes up with 70, then adds back in the other perfect number, 7, to come up with 77 times. Now, before you take your notebook out and start making check marks, Jesus is not suggesting that you count to 77. 77 is just a number that represents unlimitedness, a complete number. We are called to forgiveness as the children of God. We do well to forgive. Our forgiveness goes beyond any number. It goes beyond any amount. Even the Mayo Clinic would agree with Jesus about that. We do well to forgive our brother or sister from our heart. In October of 2006, a man 32 years old, named Charlie Roberts, walked into an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania. He took the lives of 10 Amish schoolgirls before taking his own life. There is little more tragic and evil in this world than the taking of innocent life, especially the lives of children. Quite on the other hand, there are few people in the world that are more peaceful than the Amish. Over the years, my wife and I have made friends, done business with many Amish people. This is a generalization, I know. Generalizations are always true, untrue. But Amish people are just at peace, and they will not hurt anyone. And on this day, in October 2006, they suffered the greatest injustice. And what happened on that day? They didn't point fingers. They didn't assess blame. They didn't hold press conferences to express their outrage. Instead, they expressed compassion. That very afternoon, the grandfather of one of the little girls who had been killed offered forgiveness to the killer. That night, members of the Amish community went to the Roberts family home to console them in their loss. Charlie Roberts himself had a funeral a few days later, and there were more Amish people there than there were non-Amish. And the Roberts family was invited to the funerals of the little girls who had died as well. Roberts had suffered for 9 years over the premature death of his own small girl. He had never forgiven God for this loss in his life. And yet, immediately upon his having brutally taken the lives of others, there was an entire community who would offer forgiveness, hope, and love. There are few of us who could match that spirit. Most of us, if we were to lose someone important to us, we would lose all sense of fairness. In our judicial system, we do not ask the wronged to speak a sentence onto the convicted. We ask someone who is more impartial, called a judge. I know that if I lost someone very important to me, a child, a grandchild, I would want the most severe sentence inflicted upon the one convicted. I only pray that God would somehow, someday, give me the grace to be able to forgive. Certainly God knows that we would be better off if we were able to forgive rather than allowing that pocket of poison to grow within us. In 2018, a white police officer killed a black man in his apartment. You might remember the story. She thought that the black man was in her apartment, but he was appropriately in his own. She was convicted of murder. On the day of the conviction, there were protesters out in the street doing whatever it is protesters do in our day. But inside the courtroom, the younger brother of the murdered man spoke directly to the now convicted former police officer. He urged her to pray. He forgave her. He asked if he could offer her a hug. That hug was granted. He told her, "I love you. I wish nothing bad on you." Tears streaming down both faces, sobs heard throughout the entire courtroom. The judge, who had just presided over the trial, dabbed her face with tissues, came down, hugged every member of the murdered man's family, then went over to the convicted woman, handed her a Bible, and gave her an embrace as well. Both the brother and the judge were roundly criticized for their acts of forgiveness, mercy, and compassion. But they do not answer to television commentators or to protesters. They answer to a Father in heaven. And I'm sure that their hearts are purer and cleaner because they have forgiven a sister or a brother from the heart. It is our call. It is the Spirit given to God's children. Amen. Hymn 605, please.